What's up, everybody? What's up? What's up? Welcome to another edition of your favorite geek show, Geek Cypher.
Goes it all.
I am recovering
from the podcast world.
Yes. I'm recovering COVID's.
Yeah, how are you feeling on that, buddy?
I feel like I just sound nasally, which I don't know. That's the only thing.
I can hear it.
Yeah. A lot of sinus congestion. Maybe if anything, I should just amplify it and talk like this throughout the whole show. Hello, nerds. No,
I was gonna be like, I didn't really notice it that much, and then you're going like that. Like,
no, it's been rough. Extremes if you want. It's been rough. I tested positive the day after last week's episode, so it's been an adventure. I'm gonna add a little color to my skin. Add a little red. There we go. Ooh, I feel like I look healthier now with this reddish glow.
Reddish hue.
There's gonna be.
Feel like I look like Casper right now, so I'm trying to.
Do you have a ring light too?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But we had this discussion when you were here at my place when you did the podcast. Your undertone and my undertone are different. Red helps my
undertone.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I am blessed with a red undertone that, when I am sick, turns into a. I guess it just stays red. I look exactly. And I just feel tired. It's been crazy. You know, this is the same time I've had COVID since 2020. The first time I had it was in 2021. It sucks. It sucks. It's not fun at all. I really hate having it. But, you know, I survived. I have to say, I did okay this time. Because last time I was like, oh, this is not going to be fun. I don't think I'm going to do well. And this time I was like, okay, I have a fever. So I'm going to do the things that I do that I know I'm not supposed to do, but makes me feel better.
Yo, where are you going, guy? Not again.
Well, I have COVID.
Again?
What do you mean again? I had it 3 years ago.
It sounds like you have it on a weekly. He's like, bro.
I didn't get that shit twice.
What are you talking about?
Not you, Mr. Darth Vader mask with the breathing
thing. Oh, I stopped wearing, dude, I don't wear masks in public or anything. I stopped. Because I was fine. I was running around, I was being mindful, I was, you know, washing my hands. Like, I used to work in a hospital. You know what I mean? Guys, I'm gonna tell you this right now, real quick. Let me look right in the camera. I used to work in a hospital. There are people who walked in with diseases that are like diseases. Like, they had to go into a little tent area, and my ass would find out afterwards, after I've already interacted with them, oh, this person has that disease from, you know, middle of nowhere East Asia that we've all been freaking out about.
You might remember that movie Outbreak? Yeah, he has that.
But that's what it is. It's like zero. No joke. When I worked in the ER, people would come in. They'd feel sick. They'd go through everything. Then they would see a triage nurse, come to me, register, sit in a waiting room. If it was a respiratory thing, they were told to sit in a certain area, but I would still interact with them. The triage nurse still interacted with them.
Don't they have like a, what do you call it? Like a section for quarantine?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So
triage nurse is supposed to be tell you whether or not you should be worried.
A triage nurse doesn't know what you have. She's just checking your symptoms. So if you come in and you're just like, and by the way, for those of you who don't know, 90% of the diseases out there have the exact same symptoms. This is why when you go on WebMD, everyone goes, you have cancer. That's not how that works. You have to actually have tests and stuff. So when you come in with like respiratory distress, high blood pressure, blah, 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 there's a number of things it could be. So these people are coming into the ER. I sit there nice and quiet. They come over with their little card, cough into their hand, hand me their card. I'm just like, cool. I'm like wiping things down with alcohol wipes because I'm like, nasty.
I'd get fired for discrimination. I'd be saying that to people's faces. Like, it'd be bad for me. I couldn't work.
But that's it. So I've interacted with people so many times knowing that these people definitely have something that I'm just like, eh, whatever. It is what it is. And then you just get used to it. So,
Sir, what are your symptoms? Dry cough and phlegm. Right. Nasty.
Just right down. And that's the thing. When I started with COVID this time, it was a wet cough. And then it switched to a dry cough. And that was the part that I've never had a cough change states literally in the middle of me coughing.
That like, happened was, to me actually when I had COVID. Yo, yeah, I'm it was weird.
Skinny, you were laughing, but I was literally coughing at one point and it felt wet. And then I coughed and it felt dry. And I was like, what the just happened? I felt the difference in my body. And I said, what is this? I've never felt this before.
And you're 40, right? So after every cold, like you lose like HP and you don't come back from them shits 100%. I'm not kidding, bro. It's like
actually
after after 40, everything, every accident, bump, scrape you get after 40 or even 35, even depending how messed up you were in your 20s.
Yeah.
It's like HP in a Final Fantasy game. You're just, you don't.
Yeah. Everyone told me that. My buddy, when I turned 40, my buddy said, welcome to the club. It's legit downhill. I'm like, oh, you know, we always say that. He's just like, no, I'll tell you one thing. When you start having aches, you have to try and figure that out early, because if you don't, it will just stay. It doesn't just like, it's not just like something you get and then it just disappears. Like when you were in your 20s, you will get it and you will be a month later being like, but wait, why is my knee still, why do I still feel my knee like that?
Waking up in the middle of the night, stubbing your toe. That's literally like a, I should get that checked out.
Oh,
that's not a let that happen, because you're 65 and that toe might just drop off.
Oh no, not
it's more, like if you stub it, don't pay attention, and then you take off your shoe later, it's all bruised and shit and even bloody, and you're like, oh, it hurt, but then the
I never stubbed my toe that bad.
I know,
It once happened to me actually. I stubbed my toe.
I was gonna say this sounded very much like an experience that you had.
It was an experience. I was rushing for work. I stubbed my toe really hard in like the corner of like one of my walls while I was just trying to get out. I'm like, okay, ow, it hurts, but like whatever. So I get in the car and you're not stepping on the toe for a while, right? Because you're driving.
Yeah.
And I got out of my car, like, ow, this really hurt. And I went to the bathroom just to like be like, just to like it's something. And I looked, I'm like, oh fuck my
your
life.
Toe looked like Professor Plum.
Oh, I don't want to describe it.
Yeah, don't describe it.
There was blood, but anyway,
I don't want to go into anything too disgusting, because then we would just end up falling into the Madam Web hole of disgust and mistrust. And
he's bringing out the hate from last week back. This is almost this. Oh, this is technically then worse than Shazam, because he didn't do that with Shazam.
I'm getting into mode. So we have what I've had enough, folks. I gotta say it. I've had enough of the Sony Spider-Man universe.
Oh, and Morbius didn't tell you nothing.
Oh, hey, Morbius was bad. But you know what? I'll give credit. The Dark Universe that Universal tried to start, they at least realized after the first movie with Tom Cruise, The Mummy, they were just like, this is a bad idea.
This is going to be bad if you're referencing Dark Universe.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. How bad. So these people over at Sony should take a page from Universal's book, because Universal saw how bad things were with the first one and said, you know, and Universal had plans. For those of you who don't know, Universal had plans. They had Tom Cruise. They had Russell Crowe. They had a bunch of people. They were planning to do Universal's Dark Universe, which was going to be all the different monsters, classic monsters,
Wolfman,
werewolf, Dracula,
invisible guy, a person. Invisible. I think they were going to do the not like the swamp monster thingy.
But may I ask a question? And this is probably for Universal. So you bring all these monster entities together. They're not fighting a big bad together or anything.
They are the big bad.
Are they collectively just terrifying and terrorizing people? Like, is that, hey, let's band together and kill everyone together? Like, what?
I honestly, I don't know what the plan was. I didn't
see. What's a mummy, a wolf, a Dracula?
I think the plan was probably to fight a big bad, because
the devil?
Maybe. I mean, it worked in, I don't know if it worked very well, but I know in Castlevania, it was like you end up fighting the devil.
Ultimately, they realized that this was a bad idea. You know, universes were becoming a big thing. Everyone wants to do a universe. Everyone saw it in the MCU.
It wasn't that it was becoming a bad idea. It's just that they did it, and it was bad. And they're like, okay, let's go back to drama. Okay, we're rebooting it again. Well, this time, Dracula. Yeah, the kids like Dracula, right? And they do it, and it didn't go well. Actually,
what was the Dracula movie?
Jaws, not to be on the other side of you, but sorry. But only because just because what I read literally the other day explained that it was the Dracula part wasn't even them trying to reboot the reboot. They had already given up on the Dark Universe by the time they did that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were just like, oh, we're just going to release it. It's almost as if it's, well, similarly to this, what they should have done with Sony. Now, Sony, I need you to be serious for a moment. I need you to realize that you do not have Spider-Man right now. And that is because Kevin Feige Molly whopped your ass in a meeting and got y'all to realize you ain't got shit. He came in. I'm listening to the MCU book right now. Kevin Feige and Ike Perlmutter both attacked, not attacked, but like cornered the people of Sony. One of them went after Amy Pascal. The other one went after whoever was the head of Sony Pictures. Got them separate, had meetings with them, pitched them on the idea of bringing Spider-Man over. They said, don't worry about it. Don't worry, girl. Don't worry. We'll take care of everything. We'll make the movie. You keep the profits. We'll even make a better, like, because they already had a deal in place for the action figures and the merch. They made them a deal and did all this stuff. And Sony, Amy Pascal got so mad the first time she threw her sandwich in Kevin Feige's face. This is a fancy woman. They were having wine and like a really nice spread. And when he said it to her, she got mad and threw a sandwich at him. And this isn't just some weird fake little side story. They both admitted this happened. That's how upset she got. This is a real thing. This woman said, are you getting serious to come into my house and try and take my character that your broke asses couldn't afford to do anything with that we made popular again?
But y'all are mismanaging it.
At the time, they had made profitable movies. They were trying to figure it out. So I don't know. Can we say they mismanaged if they did five movies that
depending
made
ending on where this conversation, if this conversation is having an Amazing Spider-Man, hey, yes, we need to have at Amazing Spider-Man.
It is, that, it is.
Okay. Yeah, no, you could say that.
When we come to Amazing Spider-Man, I know we didn't all love the films. I thought it was okay. But do you think it was bad enough that you would scrap everything you were working on?
No, that was Spider-Man 3. No.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm
that's when they rebooted.
Exactly.
When they rebooted, they're like,
but that's what I'm saying. If you have Spider-Man, Spider-Man 3, you decide to reboot because you're just like, we messed up too bad.
And it was Amazing 2 that was the real letdown, if you ask.
Yeah, yeah. This is after Amazing 2. Yeah. But even then, I do Amazing 2. I'm not thinking, well, I gotta toss everything in the trash. Like, I'm thinking. Because she did. When she was talking to Feige, she thought Feige was coming forward so they could work on an idea because Feige had been in the room when they've discussed other films for Spider-Man. And she thought, my friend's coming out to hear some ideas so we can work together. He's coming to support. He's coming to be a team player. And instead, this man comes and says, hey, you know how you took my toy years ago and you've been making crap with my toys? I want to try and take my toy back.
Bang.
Yeah. And then she got mad and whipped a sandwich at him. But at the same time, Dave hit me.
I just have a question.
Sure.
Was he wrong? I mean, let's just be honest. If we compare all the first Spider-Man movie, whether you say Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, or Homecoming, Homecoming is the better one. I'll be honest. Sure. I really liked, I don't get me wrong, I think the first Spider-Man did excessively good in some aspects, like the Uncle Ben and all that. They killed that part. Like the actual first 30 minutes of that film is so ridiculously accurate to the actual Spider-Man story. Like you cannot possibly take away from that. But overall,
yeah, but the thing is,
the way I look at all three of those Spider-Man movies is definitely it's like different generations of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi has been on record saying he loves the Steve Ditko. Steve Ditko was like the first dude to do Spider-Man. And that's what he wanted to do. He didn't want to do Venom. At a certain age, you do not like Venom. Just like at a certain age, you do not like the Ewoks. it's just a generational thing. At some point you're like, I don't like that. When that character comes up, I'm done with this whole series. I'm moving on. I got old and I peaced out. So he didn't want to do Venom. So he's trying to do Steve Ditko and bring that to the youngins. He's like, oh, just the cool stuff I got. You know, this is what I got into.
Yeah.
And then Amazing Spider-Man was more, I would say, maybe like a 90s Spider-Man. They're trying to make him a little bit younger. He's actually still in high school, but he's just slowly getting out. They're showing you how he's making the webbing, you know. And then this current one is definitely like maybe what was the last cartoon they did? The last actual cartoon.
The MTV one?
The Ultimate Not Spider-Man? The MTV
one. You're talking about Spectacular Spider-Man?
That was super it was like, I would say it's more in that range. Spectacular Spider-Man. So like, you know, younger kids are coming into it and they're relating to it because, you know, it's another guy in high school. He's not the popular person and he's trying to do his thing. He's got his nerdy friend. They get the nerd out. They get to play a whole ass Lego. They got a whole Lego Death Star. That thing is expensive. Who bought that?
That was one thing. That was a footnote in that movie that I'm happy you bring that up. I never understood. I'm like, you people ain't that rich. I'm sorry. That shit was expensive.
I mean,
Uncle Ben could have bought it.
I was gonna say, like, they got
not something. Around.
Uncle Ben could have bought it and left it for Peter.
Or there's money. But Dave, are you really trying to figure out how he got a Lego set?
Let me put it this way. That's the biggest blemish from that film, whereas Spider-Man, I don't have web shooters.
How is getting toys a blemish?
No, but if you're talking about comparing them all in the accuracies, right?
Yeah.
Or like blemishes of like inconsistencies or stupidities. Spider-Man 1.
Dave wants Peter Parker to be poor and broke.
He is poor and broke.
I don't know.
That's why everyone relates to him. I would say
having rich kids come and be like, I want to be Spider-Man. They want to be like Lex Luthor and shit.
I would say that Spider-Man wasn't poor and broke. He was middle class and everyone around him was rich. Because if you look at Spider-Man in the comic books, Aunt May has a house and a nice house. Like they weren't living on the streets.
She
has a house.
Have you ever been to your cousin's place in New York and they have a, like, you know, they're like in a little like kind of houseish kind of thing. Like you saw the kind of the block they were on in that first.
They live in Long Island, don't they?
No, I don't think it's Long. No, no, it's not Long Island.
What is it? What does he say in the Avengers movie?
Queens.
Yeah.
It's Queens. Yeah. They're in Queens. And my family's in Queens and I've seen those kind of houses before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I have crazy.
You know, it's a, you know.
Yeah. But that's still, I mean, even if you bought that shit back then, you still had money. And the fact that the property only goes up in value.
Back then, and
right, right. No, but I'm saying property goes up in value. So Peter Parker, Uncle Ben, Aunt May, like, unless the house was falling into disrepair and they had no way of doing repairs and the property taxes aren't being paid, Peter had at least enough money to be going to school.
He goes to a public school and he goes to get a job at a young age to help his Aunt May afford the bills and stuff.
Because
when Uncle Ben passes away, who was their main income earner, they have to figure out how to make. So, like, I'm not.
And then he becomes a photographer for the Daily Bugle.
Right, right.
And the biggest thing is him trying to get pictures of Spider-Man.
All that to say, he can afford a Lego set. Anyways, if we're looking at Sony.
$1,000 Lego set? I don't think so.
If we're looking at Sony and Marvel had this deal. They've made this deal in heaven for Marvel, hell for Sony. Because Sony cannot use their main Spider-Man character when they're making films. And I have to say, I've had enough. Sorry?
They can't use the marquee, the big name that brings in the money.
They can't use Spider-Man. They can't use Peter Parker. Which
the name that makes money in North America, the name that makes money in India, it makes money in Japan, it makes money everywhere in the world. Everyone in the world knows Spider-Man.
And they can't use that character. And they're mad that they can't use that character. And I swear, they're making these movies now at this point just to hurt Marvel. Because the amount of people out there who don't realize that this movie is not a Marvel Cinematic Universe film is crazy. There's a lot of people out there. We're not included. We know this stuff. We're nerds. We pay attention to it. But there's a lot of people out there who are saying Marvel had another bomb. And that's why I've had enough. No, not them. Just everyone. There's a bunch of people going around.
I remember the article, and that was their headline. Marvel, but this movie's worst Marvel movie, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but it's not a Marvel movie.
But that's it. No, but it is. It is a Marvel movie because it's still Sony Marvel.
Right.
And Marvel's name is still on the project. They're not talking Marvel Studios. They're talking Marvel as the entire entertainment company. But it sucks because if you're Sony right now, you're making these horrible movies. You have Kraven the Hunter coming out. You have three Venom movies. You've crossed over with the MCU on two occasions, one in a Venom movie and one in Morbius. So you've done it. You've connected yourself to these universes. And then you keep releasing these bad, horrible films that don't add anything to the character or the lore. Honestly, it is offensive when you watch that movie how disrespectful they are.
I got it. It's like Wendell, get this. Okay, it's like comparing Tommy Hilfiger to Tommy Design.
What about Tommy Boy? Remember that one? Or Bugle Boy?
I love Bugle Boy. I don't even want to talk about it. Let's talk Tommy Boy.
Bugle Boy.
So Tommy Design was like the blatantly fake Tommy Hilfiger,
right?
All the way real, except for instead of saying Hilfiger underneath, it would just say Tommy Design.
If you
didn't know, you would just be like, oh, I got my slick new Tommy tracksuit, which was me in grade 7. Mm-hmm. And then you get to school, people are like, what's that? What's that design? It's exactly it.
From the
eye, quick glance, you're seeing just Marvel. But to people who heads that really know, okay.
Well, that's what I was telling Janessa at work the other day. I was telling her about Lugs versus Timberland boots.
Yeesh.
And Lugs. Okay. And then when she looked up the Lugs, the first pair of Lugs that come up look exactly like Tim's. And I'm like, yeah. Because back in the day, people just bought, like, if you couldn't afford Timberlands, you bought Lugs. And then Lugs actually became popular. This is what the thing is. Yeah. Sony is putting out Lugs and Tommy Design and have all these people in the streets looking janky as
a bunch of Exco.
Exco jeans.
But
it's like Jordan and Shaq.
Yes, Shaq.
Now you know how to play the game.
Payless Shaq sneakers. Yes, no disrespect to Shaq, but sir, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, I totally knew what I was doing because I wanted people to afford my shoes. So I did that bill with Payless because you know my feet are big and I know that's a lot of money going into those shoes. So I wanted everyone to have shoes. So
Vans and Airwalk.
Put them in the.
But straight
he had
off,
a deal with Walmart too.
With Walmart. That's, he just want people to afford his shoes and
respect to him. That's the thing. When Sony's making this movie and they're making it for $100 million, it feels like they want to respect it and they're like, you know, we're gonna make it on a budget. We're gonna make something that's affordable for the people. And guess what?
It's not for the people, for them.
Well, but yeah, I wonder if
they make it profitable so they can make more. Is essentially what they're trying to say.
But I wonder if, like, they're coming out with Venom, they're coming out with all these other characters and stuff, if it's to funnel people to the video game, because in Spider-Man 2, it's Venom and Kraven.
Potentially. Well, no, if anything, they're trying to use the concept of the hype of the video game to hopefully be, like, it's the opposite. They're using the video game to funnel them to them.
Yeah, I would say the video game, because they had to start working on the video game
before. But here's the thing, though. What Sony is doing, by whether you want to say they're trying to make these movies out of Spider or whatever, they're just hurting themselves, because at the end of the day,
are they?
You can't think about it. There's no we know there's Spider-Man people,
right?
The average person doesn't know. So they're like, hey, we're making this universe to make it look like crap. But like, yo, your universe looks like crap. You put Tom Holland right over there, he's still sparkling, shining, all sorts of Iron Man shit going on. They're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so but
really,
they're
just hurting themselves.
But they
you have to understand, hurting themselves is about a fraction of what they actually make, because Sony is from PlayStation land and they got that PlayStation money.
And on top of that, they still have the lion's share of the money from the Tom Holland films.
Yeah.
So even if they make this movie for $100 million, it flops, it's still going to make most likely $100 million. It has to make 200 to maybe make profitability because of the advertising revenue and the splits with the theaters. But even then, it's probably going to be profitable internationally.
Let's be honest, they promoted this movie for a month. They didn't spend that much.
Yeah, they didn't do
that too.
The trailer came out in January.
They're banking on curiosity and for the... sorry, Janelle, I don't want to say this in front of Malay, but I'm going to have to. For the guys who are like trying to ogle those girls in that movie. I mean, you even told me the scene that they were doing and like, you know... I already read an article where a guy got removed from the movie because he was, pulling a Drake, except for he was enjoying it in the middle of the movie.
You don't get to make multiple Drake penis references anymore.
I don't think you're on air when I made mine, though.
But did everybody hear the joke about, oh man, got my car broken into, man, and it had my Madam Web tickets right there. And the guy put in extra tickets, and it was two extra tickets to Madam Web, man. I was like, man, I got so mad.
He stole my tape deck, gave me extra tickets.
Honestly, after watching that movie, after I took a week to write my review because I wrote a review on Letterboxd. Shout out to Janessa, who was like, get a Letterboxd. That review is long and scathing because ultimately, first, Jill Hennessy from Crossing Jordan, from Law & Order, OG Law & Order, from all those shows. You guys know who Jill Hennessy is. If you look her up, you'll see her face. You'll recognize her. She's one of the OGs from Law & Order. She was Jack's first partner after Homeboy left, Brooks left. And she is in this movie for two scenes.
What?
Two scenes. And then she's killed off. And the fact that she got killed off by an actor I've never seen in my life felt like the most disrespectful thing. This woman was a star of her own show. She was one of the main cast of one of the longest running TV shows ever. And you're going to have her die sitting in a bed in her underwear next
to a beautiful woman.
Maybe she saw how bad the movie was going to be. And she's like, yo, kill me out now.
Dude, it's just bad though. It's a bad look to have someone like her. Like, it honestly made me think the casting agent was told these are going to be large roles. These are going to be decent roles for people. And then each and every one of them got chipped and edited down to something completely useless. The girl from Girls, Matt, what the annoying friend who ended up being the only smart one worth a thing at the end of the series.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember I got to look her up because I don't remember her name. But even she's in the movie. She's the girl in the chair for the villain the entire time you're watching the film. You get to the end of the movie, she just disappears. That's it. They make one more call to her. She tells him the thing. Never go back to her. And I just remember thinking, you got some of these people out here doing some of the weirdest side quest type stuff for 2 seconds of screen time just so you could toss them in the trash. It felt disrespectful. It felt disrespectful.
Did they get paid?
And you know what? They probably got paid more than a regular rate. So yeah, really? I guess you're right.
Everybody got paid.
Everyone got paid.
I wasn't gonna read your review because it has spoilers, but who am I kidding? I don't really care.
Yeah.
You don't.
I don't even care.
Yeah, man. I know there's like a non-controversy going on YouTube. Where this YouTube reviewer, Chris Stuckman, I think he made a video saying like he's not going to watch the movie and he's not going to review it. And some people are mad and everyone's like, why? It is a non-review. It's like, I think the thing is that he doesn't want to watch it because he knows, and either it's bad, but it's like, he knows he's not going to say anything positive. So why put the time and effort?
Why
to
just
really
shit on the movie?
I will say this though. Does he do reviews for a living?
He does reviews for a living. One, okay. He also reviews older stuff. So, like, if he wants to talk about an old movie, he'll change his background to be like video cassettes and stuff like that.
Okay,
he has a video cassette collection, and then he's also working on an actual movie that's supposed to be coming out sometime soon.
Because my only thing is, I would say if you review films for a living. And this film is another one of the films that you would normally review. Don't come out and say, don't even say you're ducking it. Cause then it sounds like you're playing the politics of relationships. That's why I would be annoyed.
I think that's why some people are annoyed a little bit, yes. But I mean, he has so many other reviews.
Sure. But then that's what I'm saying. Stuff. At that point, don't even say anything. Just don't do a review. Just skip it.
But again, like, that's what I said. It's a non-
Yeah, because
controversy.
I think I mentioned it last week. Shout out to Frankie, but Frankie the Fighter, who has a YouTube channel, who's on social media and all over the place. She's doing fantastic. She was talking about how, you know, this was the first time she's ever had to question where her loyalties stand and where her professionalism, because she got invited to the red carpet to the premiere. Ooh. She got to interview the director of the film. She got to talk about the film. And then she's just like, but I had to be honest. And then she says, this is a bad movie. And when you're doing this stuff at the level that she's doing it at, where you aren't working for a publication. You yourself are the publication. You do all this on your own. You're establishing, you're building your network. I've seen her hustling like crazy out there. I see her making, working with DC and Warner Brothers. I see her working with Marvel. I've seen her doing all this stuff, and they're recognizing her platform is large enough that she should be invited to these things. You then get concerned about, well, will I get invited back if I start to speak up when the project isn't great? And that's a lot of the stuff, you know, Skinny, you do action figure stuff. Jaws, you do Transformers stuff. You know, I've done stuff for people, music labels, all that stuff back in the day. There's a lot of times where you start to go, okay, I guess I have to walk the line here, because you keep inviting me to this event and these things, and I get in for free. Is the idea that I'm supposed to just play nice and say, cool? And it sucks, because you don't want to have to do that. You don't want to have to compromise. But at the same time, you also know the access that you're getting to these spaces is based on the relationships.
Yeah.
And Sony, I have to say, they can't be mad at anybody who's saying anything negative with this one, because it feels like you intentionally made a movie that no one could positively review. I'm telling you, based on every aspect of film that I've studied when I was in school, based on every element of script writing, based on the many years of watching TV and watching performances, every aspect of this film and the director, and I'm not hating on the director because I just don't think she was ready, if I'm being honest. She had done mostly television before, and it sounds like they got her because she did The Defenders on Netflix, which looked good, but she didn't, you know, that's still Netflix, you know, that like there's
she also had a lot more to work with.
You know, like
I think the running gag I see when people are reviewing Madam Web online is they always play this clip, and they always show a bunch of other stuff that they ranked lower than Madam Web, but Madam Web is the lowest.
Yeah.
And they're like, maybe I judged you too harshly, and they're like holding either the Marvels or any other Morbius. Dude. Like, maybe I judged you too harshly.
Yes, honestly, the amount of people I've seen who have had to acknowledge that the Marvels is not as bad as it as people were saying is fantastic. Because I watched the Marvels and I was like, the Marvels is not a bad film, and people were lambasting it, like they were just talking disrespectful. They were saying things that you shouldn't be saying about somebody's sister out in these streets.
Wow.
And I'm like,
people
reading
are afraid of women, that's why.
Oh, for big facts. We already knew that it had to do with women. We already knew Captain Marvel got a lot of heat the first time. We knew it was going to continue for this one. Brie Larson has hate on her for just even not even being disrespectful, for just asking to see more people that look like her. It, or more people that look like insert like black women, people of color, all this stuff, just asking for them to be the ones to interview her.
She must be burn her.
Witch, to break burn the heretic.
She's a witch.
Sorry, Janessa.
To be honest, I'm not a fan.
A Brie Larson? Yeah, but yeah. Brie Larson has the right to say she wants to see more people. Like, we're not gonna.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. I'm just not a fan of her as an actress.
And that's fine. And that I know a lot of people aren't a fan of her as an actress. And that's, if you're not a fan of her as an actress, fair. But if you're not a fan of her character and you start saying the movie sucks because you hate Carol Danvers, when Carol Danvers is a good character, anyone who's read the comic book ever knows that Carol Danvers is one of the best Marvel characters. She goes toe-to-toe with Tony in the comic book all the time. The same sass and like attitude that Tony comes at with, she brings it back tenfold and always puts Tony in his place. And there's a lot of people that don't put Tony in their place. And it's great to see her do that. So when I knew that this character was coming to the movies, I was just like, okay, we're going
to
see
Marvel it. Character to be an X-Men, a Starjammer, and an Avenger.
Bong!
But do you think they did her character justice?
I don't even think
a different version. They definitely made her OP. Like, it's always different eras of that character. So like,
I also
when she was with the X-Men, it was a very different costume and different type of person.
Yeah.
And then I guess more in the 2000s, she's more what she looks like now, what she kind of feels like now, kind of thing.
Brie Larson fits current Marvel. Yeah.
Yes, she fits current Carol Marvel.
No, Danvers. Not that. Not if she fits. More just the character. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just
the characterization is more of the current version of her in the comics.
And okay, I think that's because of who they got to play her.
Yeah. But do you feel like they did her justice? Do you mean that as fans of the character, she did a good enough performance for Carol?
Yes. Like, do you think she was the right choice? And do you think the movies did a good job making
based on what they were trying to do with the character and based on what Jaws is saying, what era? Yes. Mm-hmm. I think she is really good for the character because she's not the cocky Carol Danvers yet. She's the she's the post rogue. I don't know where I am. Yeah. Confused, my powers are gone. I feel like I'm in a mental limbo. That's what she was. And that
I don't know much of her character. Yeah. I just found the movies.
She was super boring. Into Marvel. Marvel got zapped. She got his powers. She was Ms. Marvel, ran around, turned around into Warbird, got cocky. Rogue shut her down. Yeah. comaed her for a minute. Yeah. Her conscience lived in Rogue's body for a good 3-4 years. She finally gets her conscience back, ends up in space, gets infected by the Brood, turns into binary, joins the Starjammers, is on a whole different level of power. Yeah. Don't know what happened after that. She ended up coming back to Earth, got the name Captain Marvel finally from Monica Rambeau. Monica Rambeau had it first. She asked Monica if I could have it. Monica's like, yeah, I guess. Why not? Sure, take it. Go ahead. Took
everything out. I'm not
and
using
that's
it
when
now.
She started fully growing into her, like, heroine self, but also being cocky like Tony, because at this point she's been through the ringer and back, and she's like, oh shit, I'm still alive, okay, let's go.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's badass.
And that's
actually one of the I didn't see the second one, is it?
Yeah, the Marvels.
Yeah.
And I would say
the first movie was, I thought, was kind of boring.
Watch the Marvels, you'll like it more than
the Marvels one. Is good because the Marvels is the thing I love about the Marvels is they figured out how to give each character their shine without taking away from the other characters. The one place I will say that they took away from was they didn't develop the villain as well.
Yeah.
Because the villain kind of just shows up big mad with a hammer. And you're just like, oh, you, okay. And for some reason, this villain who is not as powerful as Thanos is going toe-to-toe with Captain Marvel, who we saw punch through ships. So, yes, that's one of the parts where I feel that the movie doesn't
really... always have to do a weird Superman thing. Like, I mean, that's the main reason Superman has a bunch of different kryptonite. They have to depower him to make him fight other people, or else he's just one punch.
Well, they also gave him the excuse that he fights people so that he could understand how strong they are, so that he could understand how hard he can punch to stop them.
Right,
that's cardboard, actually the excuse.
The cardboard box thing.
If Superman had Goku's enthusiasm about fighting, shit would be really different.
Oh, that would be scary.
You'd
if
have
Superman
you'd,
was just like, "Oh boy, you look strong."
What's his name from Invincible?
Which one?
What was Grayson? That image again?
Invincible's dad. That's Invincible's dad.
Omni-Man.
That's what Omni-Man.
Superman would be like, "Here, eat this because I don't want you to be weak." Let's go.
Yeah.
No, there's that image of Goku and Vegeta walking up to a Waffle House, and he's like, I heard there's some strong fighters in here.
I have not seen that. That's fantastic.
It's a great picture. Just both of them walking up to the Waffle House.
Ultimately, I'll end it by saying this. Sony, stop. You have Venom. You have Kraven and Venom 3 this year. After that, stop.
Take a knee.
Take a knee. Take a knee. Take a bow.
You know how intellectual properties work. If you don't use it, then you lose it. So it's for the most part. I mean, we've seen Fantastic Four. They're always using it, and it's always crap.
Here's the thing for Sony.
They get to renew it because they used it.
Here's the deal for Sony, though. Guess what? You already have a deal where you're making the Spider-Man movies with the MCU. You'll never lose it. Because as long as they want to keep making those movies, which they do, and you have the license, you're essentially letting the kid, you took the toy from the kid, and you're letting the kid play with the toy, but it's still yours somehow.
You know what I do?
They're never going to lose the license.
This is kind of like a sneak peek to one of the news. It's like how Disney reached an agreement that Sony will handle their physical shit. Sony should just be like, hey, look, let's just waste all this universe. Like, you're doing all this multiverse stuff. Just take Tom Hardy, take Tom Hardy from us and put him in your universe. Scrap everything else. We won't make anything more, but give us a bit more of the revenue.
I wouldn't even give him more of the revenue.
I know,
because y'all been fucking up my shit behind my back, trying to make me look dumb.
No, give Sony more of the revenue.
No, yeah, you're lucky I don't take money away from you, Sony, for what you've been doing with this yeah. bullshit and this Craven shit. What are you doing? You think I don't know? No,
we're never ever gonna get a Sinister Six movie.
No, you're not going to. No, you're not going to. And
momentum's never going to be there.
They could literally just sit down and collect the Spider-Man money, but they're too greedy.
No, but that's what I think they're getting to a point now where because they're doing so poorly with how they've done these movies. Yeah. I think they really are just going to say, you know what? Just keep making these Spider-Man movies in the MCU and we have to deal with them. Because it's not worth it to make a $100,000 movie planning a franchise and then for the entire world to make fun of your movie.
And at the same time, why lose the money? Why lose not just the money, but the credibility of your production?
What credibility?
Well, let's put it this way. Sony used to be like have good movies. They clearly like the Spider-Mans. We joked on them before. They weren't bad movies nonetheless.
They weren't bad though.
But these are bad movies.
Yeah.
They're bad. Symbiote, my friend. These are bad movies.
The idea that Symbiote was actually came out and was released for public people to hear with their own ears. Fanboys like you and me. Means that nobody cared.
Okay? Yeah.
And they still don't care.
Yeah, it's true.
That deep rooted.
I would say the only thing that Sony's doing good.
Animation?
Yes.
I was just gonna say.
Yeah, stop tooting their horn for that because them getting cocky off that is why they keep doing this dumb shit.
No, but you know what? Here's what you do. You stop making the live action stuff. You just focus on your animation stuff because your animation stuff is, dude, shout outs to Patrick it's and really the crew. Good. They're making, dude, you know how many awards they've won recently? I follow because you guys know, I know Patrick, who's the art director for the film. I follow him on social media. We're boys. We used to hang out. I have some of his art, not here, but in the hallway and stuff like that. Patrick's been killing it. The whole crew, they've been winning award after award after award, like everything they're being nominated for. And I'm just like, if you have this
Pixar level,
yeah, you have this type of backing, support, critical appraise for the animated stuff. Why are you even bothering making the live action stuff? When, yeah, the live action stuff,
they have an ego like DC, bro, and they're gonna fall and crash and burn just like the DC. And then DC went up and then like fucked it up nonetheless with this crappy Archer shit. They're gonna shoot themselves in the foot until they have no more toes. That's all.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but their animation is never gonna look like shit though. Let's not disrespect.
We used to say that about DC too. No, they proved me wrong. Whoa,
pause. I never said once that the animation at DC was so good that it was gonna change the world. Sony animation has literally adapted the way people make animated films. So let's not pretend like I had that much respect for Warner Brothers. They can lick my ass.
Oh my god.
I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like DC and Warner Brothers have been doing anything revolutionary when it comes to animation in the last bit of the era. Sony did something so crazy, people stopped making movies like Pixar. You realize how big that is? People have been making Pixar adjacent style movies for 15 years. Sony came out and in 1 year, everyone said, well, shit, we all can adjust.
That's other people who are being lazy. Just like the people who lazy? Did the other.
They weren't
making money over there. We can make Pixar money over here.
We can.
Subway's making sandwiches over here. We're McDonald's. We started this. We can make sandwiches too. And then it sort of came out and then they put it back to rest.
I still got to watch that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with Mance.
You haven't watched
but that's what anymore. I'm saying. You don't have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated film looking the way it does without Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. You don't.
I agree.
100%. They've said it. There's whole videos explaining why all the animated styles change because of them. So I'm not going to put them together with Warner Brothers and be like, we used to say the same about... I've never said the same about Warner Brothers. I said Warner Brothers made good animated films. I never said their animation was top-notch. Because it wasn't. They weren't changing anything. The only thing that was, I'll give this to the Warner Brothers team from back in the day. The fact that when they made Batman the Animated Series, they did it on black and inverted the way people did animation. Instead of coloring in on white pages, they were doing stuff over black so that the darkness was even deeper. I'll give them points for that. Because no one else was doing that. They did it first. And that's why Batman the Animated Series looks as good as it does. But I'm sorry.
It's cool.
Into the Spider-Verse. What are we going to say? We're going to pretend? We're going to pretend?
Top tier.
No. Top tier. Award-winning. Multiple award-winning top tier. Out here just fucking stacking awards. Don't even have room for it. You got to start digging holes and just putting shit in there. Being like,
are they pulling a Tom Hanks?
Toy Story?
No. Or Tom Hanks. He's like, oh, hi. I'm Academy Award-winning Tom Hanks. Takes an Emmy, throws it into the fire. I was feeling a little cold. I apologize for that. Or there's another one where he goes to his car and he takes the Emmy, puts it onto the nose of his car and he starts taping it like, got too many of these.
Finish, Janessa. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, isn't Mitchell and Machines also Sony?
Yeah, it is. And that animation style, I don't know if you guys watch that. Also, Jaws, you are 100% right. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Nimona, another fantastic animated style.
Also say, you know, don't sleep on DreamWorks Animation.
Illumination.
The Bad Guys came out. The last Cat.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Puss in Boots movie that came out.
Yeah.
Like those are really good too.
To see that.
The Bad Guys is a great example. That animation style is almost kind of like a cartoon Pixar evolution.
Yeah. Like that was actually really good.
Yeah, they did something different from Pixar, but managed to still look really clean. Because one of the things that people always comment is like how the Into the Spider-Verse stuff is like, the lines aren't as clean. It kind of breaks through and everything.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Bad Guys, they still made it clean. They still made it look good, but they still made it look different.
Yeah.
And that to me, those are the big factors. Here we are talking about animation. I'm going to have to try and get Patrick to do a little thing, talk to us about animation someday. Anyways. All that craziness, we gotta pass it on. So Janessa, I'm gonna ask you, can you hit me with some, you know, if we're gonna talk about the real, from the animation into the real world, and even far beyond just the real world, biopics, because this is not even just fiction, this is nonfiction. We're going from people scripting the world we see to the people that created the world we wanted to live in.
The real story of celebrity lives. Well,
I didn't. Did you see One Love, Bob Marley?
I did see Bob Marley.
Oh, dope.
I did see Bob Marley. I have problems with it.
Okay.
I don't know. They didn't focus actually on his life. It's focused mainly on like the last few years of his life.
Okay.
You don't get
the full story of Bob Marley, Jamaica. You get kind of like he's already famous and he's already established. He's living partially
he's already a Rastafarian.
Yeah, like they give you like a quick introduction to how he became, but it's not like a in-depth, you know, about his childhood, how he became Bob Marley. It's kind of like a quick run through.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not trying to give spoilers, but
No, that's fair.
They mainly focus on the last couple of years of his life, where he's recording the album Exodus.
Oh yeah.
So anyways, some of it was really well done. Honestly, when I saw the trailer, it didn't look good. But the actor that plays him, I can't remember
Kingsley
his name.
Kingsley Benadire.
Yes, Kingsley Benadire. He actually did a really good job. I was surprised.
I was going to ask because I've been seeing a lot of backlash online about the fact that they didn't get a Jamaican actor. Like a lot of people in the community have been saying like, hey, this guy's a great actor. We're not mad at it. But if you're not even going to cast us to play our own legends, what do we get? And I was just like, that's a pretty fair statement.
Fair, but at the same time, how is it different than getting? He is good. I think he did a great job. Okay. I understand that point, but at the same time, I'm like, there's so many biopics of American celebrities, and it's English actors playing them. Like,
oh,
or vice versa. Like, it's sorry.
You know that debate is on, though, because people got mad when Sam Jackson was saying why we got all these Brits playing all these black historical roles, and it started a whole rift. So
yeah, I mean, okay, especially with BIPOC people, I think it's more of a question of concern, because there are a lot of a lot of either mixed or American people who are playing BIPOC people. So I agree. There's a problem there.
We can say it. The Rock is playing all the people of color. We can make that statement.
stealing WrestleMania. That's all he tries to do.
The Rock is out here playing Latino, playing Black, playing Polynesian, playing Asian. The Rock's got it all. Anyways, I'm teasing.
I hate it. True.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, but I honestly didn't do my homework on the cast to see where they all are from. So I don't know if there's some people in the cast that are from Jamaica, but they actually did a good job at showing, you know, the culture in Jamaica. Mm. And I don't know how it was at the time, because obviously I wasn't born, but
I wasn't born. Yeah.
Yeah, but they did. There's some aspects of the film where it was done well, but it felt rushed. And the fact that they only focused on the last few years of his life, I didn't understand why they did it that way. And not only that, me and my aunt, we searched up a lot of the facts about Bob Marley's life after the movie. Yeah. And there's a lot of things in the movie that are not accurate.
That's
so. It's so upsetting, because his family produced it. His family is behind it.
Isn't Ziggy?
You would think.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, Ziggy. Not only Ziggy, a lot of the Marleys are behind it. Yes.
I think it's going to be one of those movies where you do not get clearance to use any of the music, any of the rights, blah, 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 unless we get final say on the movie. I wouldn't be surprised if they are like, clean this up, change that. Mom and not all the other women he was with.
But yes, hit us. What were you gonna say?
I'm not talking about like the adultery that Bob Marley was doing. I'm talking more about his life. So in the movie, I hope you don't care about spoilers.
Well, but... we'll just set it up for everyone. Guys, there's gonna be spoilers right now. So let me see if I can find the banner real quick.
Yeah, guess what? Block your ears, cover your eyes.
There we go. Spoilers. So
in the movie, they talk about how he was abandoned by his father, and his father wanted nothing to do with him. Apparently, he was a white, I think he's from the military. He abandoned him and his mother and then fled away. Okay. When we did a fact check, Bob Marley's father was actually a white Jamaican who was married to his mother and died when he was 10 years old. So
what? Oh, that's a pretty big thing to change.
That's a major thing to change, because in the movie they make you think, oh, he was this white man who came to the country, slept with his mom, got her pregnant, and wanted nothing to do with him because he's a black kid. So he just left and abandoned them. But then when you search up the story, that's not at all what happened. So things like that made me feel like,
maybe the family what, Dave?
Didn't like him.
Oh no, for sure. I understand what you're.
Maybe that's why I didn't hire an actual Jamaican to play Bob Marley. He's like, wait a minute, this ain't true, and then fire.
Oh,
who knows though? Like,
that's so funny.
Maybe there was a bad relationship with the mom and the father, and there is some type of history or whatever. But it's just the way. I don't know.
They're depicting it one very specific way, and from what you read historically, not Nagoso. But I will point out that
exactly,
and I will take this again from Jaws's book. It sounds like that's just because if the family's involved and the family decided we don't want to have to add the historical white hero, he's going to be a deadbeat, and we're going to write it that way. Because I can't think of any other reason. Because the family is giving the final approval. And even if they're not giving the final approval, the family saw the script, knew the story before. If someone writes the script and says, hey, grandpa didn't actually do this to dad, why are we writing it this way? at some point someone's going to say, oh, well, we're doing that because it makes for a better story.
Yeah, but then exactly. But then the whole story is about Bob Marley finding himself and looking up to Ja as his father figure. So it's weird. It's weird that they decided to do that because it changes his whole life story.
I would say, though, it is weird, but the point you're making almost makes it more valid as to why they did that. Because if they want to separate Bob Marley from his father to put Ja in the place as the guiding light as a father figure, it makes more sense to have a father figure that was bad as opposed to... Because, Janessa, you and I understand this, but it's Hollywood. Hollywood always assumes the audience is too stupid to get that someone could love their father and still seek a father figure outside of that household because they might just need more.
But understandably, his dad passed away when he was 10 years old.
That's
so you could still seek for a father figure after that. Like you were young.
It's more lines and more having to. It's more work.
I don't know.
I agree with you.
Focus on that aspect. Like that part of his life in the movie is very short. They don't even talk about his mother. Like it's a very short. So for me, I'm like, they could have just left all of that out and said, this is how he became Bob Marley and whatever. I don't know.
I wonder if it's because maybe when he was growing up, it wasn't seen as much hardship. He wasn't coming up from the slums, from the shanty towns that he sings about later on in life. And so they're just kind of like, let's try to rearrange this and make it a little more he's the man of the people kind of thing, as opposed to maybe he came from a more middle class affluent part of town and then kind of came back.
Well, I mean, in real life, his mom did remarry after his dad passed away and she left to, I think, Delaware, and he stayed in Jamaica. So he was, you know, kind of abandoned in a way and alone in Jamaica. So it's like,
so they still could have done the story where he was
that's why it's like I don't understand. And when you read reviews and you see people's reactions, so many people are like, this story is so inaccurate, why did you do this? And people are like upset about it, which I understand, because at first I didn't get it, because I didn't really know much about Bob Marley's story, to be honest, until I researched it after the movie and I was like, whoa, why did they go this direction?
That's so, such a weird... Yeah, so, yeah. You know, we were playing devil's advocate, but it is very, very weird to try and write the story the way you're describing when you could have written it almost exactly as it happens, and you still get a Bob Marley who didn't necessarily have the strongest familiar situation growing up and still needed to look to Ja for guidance because they felt maybe... lost or left behind.
Yeah.
Wild.
But anyway, moving on to other biopics, I'll make it quick. Also, I'm mentioning all of these biopics because who asked for all of this?
it's ever since Bohemian Rhapsody. It's been like...
No, but come on. This is like... I find the biopics are...
I would say...
Elton John was the Blade... to the freaking X-Men or Spider-Man, which is Bohemian Rhapsody, which is the Marvel Universe you are now in.
Yeah, I was going to say, it all comes like the last couple years where they're just like, oh, we want to know all their stories. To do what? I mean, but I agree with you.
Anyways, but I do think, so the Michael Jackson biopic is coming out next year. I don't know if anyone, if you guys saw it, it's kind of old news now. But his nephew is playing his nephew is starring him, which is interesting because I didn't even know that he had a nephew who sings and dances. So that's going to be...
Oh, he has quite a few nephews.
Yeah, he. I don't know if you saw the picture, but they really look alike.
Yeah. He had a song maybe a few years ago. That's actually pretty cool. So.
Yeah. I was looking him up and he seems promising. And then there's Nia Long who's playing the mother and Colman Domingo playing his father, which is... pretty good cast, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's a solid cast.
And Miles Teller playing the manager. So,
oh,
yeah,
is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll see how it goes. And then the one that's coming out, I think soon, is Amy.
Yes.
About Amy Winehouse.
I'm a little beside myself on that one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. We have a
good documentary about her called Amy.
Right.
I don't feel a need to dramatize her life kind of thing.
Yeah. So this one's starring Marissa Abella. I don't know her.
She's from the show The Industry. She's the She's the type A character on the show who kind of, I don't know if you guys have ever watched The Industry on HBO. It's a very interesting show.
I haven't yet.
Yeah, it's about the financial business market in like the UK and homegirl from, oh man, homegirl that was in the most recent season, black girl who was in the movie with Mahershala Ali and Julia Roberts. She plays the daughter in that one. The one that's about the end of the world.
I don't know her name.
I'll look it up. I'll let you guys continue. You guys can
continue. Okay. But yeah, so I haven't seen The Industry. I haven't seen her in anything else. But again, I saw the trailer. Doesn't look very good.
Mahala. Mahala? I imagine is how I pronounce that. Mahala?
Harold. Not Mahalia.
No, because there's no I. Yeah, no, Mahala. So I'm guessing that's pronounced Mahala. Mahala.
Oh, yes.
Is the yes. actress, and she's in the show Industry with this young woman that you said who's starring in Amy.
She's also in Bodies, 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 and yes. I think she was in an episode of Black Mirror. Yeah,
she was recently. Yes.
Yeah, she's up and coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Industry has a solid cast. Like when you look at the cast of Industry, and then you look at all the projects that are coming out right now, a lot of those cast members are doing things. So the show kind of feels like it was a breeding ground for just really good young talent.
Cool.
Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, with drugs and Red Bull.
So still Mickey Mouse Club?
Okay, but yeah, so this girl, Marissa Abella.
Yes, don't know much about her, but I can't remember when it's coming out. It's coming out soon, I think in a couple of months. And like Jaws is saying, there's already a great documentary out about Amy Winehouse. So I don't know. I think it's a money grab.
Oh, really?
We'll see. We'll see.
Couldn't the same thing be said about isn't there like Legend, something that was about Bob Marley, that there was already a biopic?
It was a documentary.
Oh, it was more of a documentary. So, yeah, it's not the same.
I want to say late 80s, early 90s. I remember there was a VHS of it. That's how I remember it.
That one came out years ago, whereas Winehouse documentary that everyone adores was the last 5 years, right?
5 or 10, maybe.
I think it was 2016? 2017? Damn, really? Wait, let me check. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, 2015.
Oh, 2015. Wow.
Was it before or after Mos Def changed his name to Yassine?
That's how you measure time? Before or after?
before he went by Yassine Bey or not.
So random. Of all that, why that though? As a measure,
because that they knew each other before he changed. Probably she was calling him Yassine, but like widely he was still going as Mos Def. So I think if you watch the movie, you'll find out if he's going by Mos Def or not. Because I know they talked; friends. They were friends.
True. Yeah.
I thought you were just being silly. I didn't realize you were being legit. Like, no, there's a valid historical reason why knowing the difference between Mos Def being called Yassine or Mos. Makes sense for when the movie came out. That's really funny. Okay, no, that's cool.
But so the documentary did really well. I think there's going to be high expectations for this, but I don't know. I mean, biopics generally are pretty bad. So
I was going to ask you though, are there any biopics that you would recommend, or is there anyone you wish had a biopic?
I'm really looking forward to the Michael Jackson biopic, to be honest.
Okay.
I know that there's going to be controversy around it, obviously after all the events that happened. Yeah. But I think his life is very interesting, and I think it'll be cool to see a biopic of him. Hopefully, it's accurate and not just a money grab. But it's promising since they did like a wild, a worldwide casting for Michael Jackson, for the actor to play him, and they still ended up choosing his nephew. So
yeah. I was gonna say, I'd be so mad if I auditioned for this and then saw that his nephew got it and be like, listen here, Muff, you could have just told us you had his.
Well, I think they really, because his family is involved in it, and I think they did want to find somebody that was the best option. So even though they did a worldwide casting, they still ended up deciding that Jafar Jackson was the best option.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It's Jermaine's son,
I remember,
right?
Has anyone?
Yeah, Jermaine's son.
Sorry,
go ahead, Dave. Hit
it. I didn't mean to interrupt because you guys were been talking about it. Did anyone ever see the 2013 Jimmy All Is By My Side with Andre 3000 playing Jimi Hendrix?
No. Is that? I remember there was two that year, right?
There was one two that year. Yeah,
there was one that was sanctioned by the family.
Yeah,
and they have all of his music, and then the other one, which is the Andre 3000 one, it's not sanctioned by the family, so none of his music's in there.
And that's the saddest part, to think that Andre 3000 is in the one that doesn't have the music. That seems so crazy.
Because I remember seeing him talk, and I was like, oh, he sounds like him a lot. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Brian.
No, I was just going to say, if you have Andre 3000 playing Jimi Hendrix, you would think you would want to have the real music, because that feels almost like the perfect marriage of a performer, an artist, a creator, and then the music to go with it. But then, you know, you end up with kind of these, what's the worst one I ever saw? The Aaliyah one? Where it's just like,
oh goodness,
we don't have the rights to the music. We're going to film it terrible. In Toronto. We're going to have, you know, and nothing wrong with filming in Toronto, but it's just the feeling when you watch that Aaliyah story.
That was embarrassing.
It's so painful to watch. And then you hear like, oh, well, when they don't have the music, this is kind of what happens. They kind of fill in with these sound alike rights included music type. And it's like, oh God.
Yeah. But then there are some good biopics though, like the Elton John. Right. What's it called? Rocketman?
Rocketman. Yeah. I didn't see that one yet. I want to as well.
That one was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It
felt like in the 90s, they're always doing like miniseries biopics, and then they kind of resurged again. So I would say Jackson 5 American Dream was pretty good back in the day. Fantastic.
Yeah. When we were kids, that was one of the best ones.
There was the Temptation ones that they did.
Leon that was pretty good.
There was a Little Richard one. I think also Leon was the star of that one. I think the James Brown one is pretty good with Chadwick Boseman, Get On Up, kind of showing you like, no, James Brown actually had a head for business. He wasn't just this crazy old dude from the South just going crazy and stuff. He actually had a head.
Was Ray good?
Jamie Foxx.
I think Ray was pretty good.
Ray was fantastic. Ray is great. And the fact that Ray Charles signed off.
Was still alive.
Yeah, he was still alive and signed off on Jamie. Like there's a clip of Jamie Foxx learning the piano parts from Ray Charles and Ray is playing and Jamie does the thing and Ray's just like, no, like more soul. And Ray does it again. And then Jamie does it. And then Jamie starts playing and Ray starts laughing. He's like, this boy's got it. And he like starts like singing along.
His version of dancing how he always does, you know, when
he's
really into it.
I remember Jamie said when he was playing with them, he made a mistake on the keys. He's like, the keys ain't moving anywhere. Just take your time. The keys ain't moving. They're not jumping around. The keys are there. And I know Jamie said he didn't want to hang out with Ray Charles too much because he would have soaked up more old Ray Charles. And he's playing younger Ray Charles.
True. Okay.
And then more recently, there was one. The new edition. Biopic was really
that was a multi-episode thing that they had on Hulu.
On BET, that new edition one. And then I think there was a Bobby Brown one after that. That was with the same actors and the same crew and everything.
Right.
And
I like when they do that. I think that's cool. I know not that this is the same thing at all, but if you watch the, like, what is it? Unlicensed behind the scenes of Saved by the Bell, the 90210 has the same cast, like the people that played on the Saved by the Bell one that ended up on 90210 are the same actors, and it crosses and it continues, like they almost had this kind of like actors universe within the
that's cool universe.
And I remember watching them and being like, oh, that's kind of cool that you guys did that. Like, oh, you're Shannon Doherty. So you're Shannon Doherty. Yeah. Your Tiffany Amber Thiessen was still your Tiffany Amber Thiessen. That was pretty cool. Anyway, sorry. But yeah, I like that the Bobby Brown did that with the new edition.
I would like to see them do something with Little Richard where, you know, always Little Richard would always say, oh, you know, I work with this person and I help this person, I'd help that person out. And then you do all those other people's movies, biopics, and the through person is Little Richard. And then you do the Little Richard movie at the end of your series of movies, and then you see
him. Like he's like the Avengers movie. That sounds like
he's showing up in each movie. Yeah, exactly. And at the end, you see him like, well, you know, I went to go talk with him, and then you see it from his perspective, the same scene, and then you keep going. But we're not gonna get that.
That's crazy.
But I do think the sports biopics are usually a bit better. Well, ooh. The athletes, I mean, like I, Tanya, King Richard was good too. Even Ironclaw, I just saw that and that was really good. But lastly, just to bring up really quickly, this one really shocked me. So director Sam Mendes, he's going to be doing four biopics.
Yes.
About the Beatles.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, each one.
Each person is getting their own biopic.
Yeah. So each one is going to be in the perspective of that person, which it's interesting, but it's also like, why? Yeah. Who asked for four biopics?
I think the only reason why you're getting that is because all of them, not only were they a very iconic band, they were very different people, and they all respect. For the most part, minus Ringo, although he did have his own album, which was just, anyways, we're not going to talk about that. But like, they all had like their own single success very thoroughly, right? And when they broke up, it was like, it's not like, oh, they broke up and they flaked off. They still rose and above.
Mm-hmm. But that only applies if the biopics pick up after the breakup. Because if the biopics are going to be the four perspectives leading up to them forming, or them at the same time from different perspectives. Like if you're going to show me scenes in each movie from the different angle of each different person where they got together, I'd be mad.
But you'd be able to do that at the breakup though.
Sorry?
You could do that at the break. Like example, having like, let's say Paul McCartney's like, I'm upset about George because of blah, blah, blah. And then you have John being like, I'm upset. Like if you could do that, maybe.
That's how each movie starts, where it's all four of them in a room and each movie is them leaving the room and it starts the separate movie. Sold. But I'm telling you now, if I go and the movies start earlier than that, I'm gonna be mad because I don't need to watch the Beatles story of them being together right before the breakup is like the fucking Batman's parents being killed of the real world.
No, you know what it should be? It should be Ringo doing the intro to when the band was being made because he was always the happy one. George during, John at the end, and Paul McCartney could be like a sweep over the whole thing. Sorry, Jaws, go.
I was going to say, first, you will not besmirch the name of Mr. Conductor. How dare you, sir?
Mr. Conductor.
Nicest dude all the band members. How dare you?
Ringo Starr was fantastic on that.
Ringo Starr's name.
Tiny Time Station, right? That's it, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, I do agree with you, Doc, that you just have to watch the episode, the B-sharps from The Simpsons, and you'll get the gist of the Beatles.
That's very true. It's not a lie whatsoever.
And then surprisingly, I think all surviving members of the Beatles were on The Simpsons.
I think they've all been on it.
Yeah, all of them are gone.
It's definitely going to sell, but it's either going to be bad, like really bad, or really good.
The first Marvel films, though. People go see this because there's enough of a fan base.
But I mean,
that's like, what I'm saying. So it's definitely going to sell, but I hope they're good.
I mean, I hope they're good for the fans' sake, because, I mean, that's going to be a lot of angry people. It's a lot of angry people.
And four movies, and that's a lot of pressure, too.
Especially since you already had that doc recently that had, like, 30 hours of content. Do we need to turn around and have 8 hours? Paul, George, Ringo, and Yoko Ono?
I just found it funny. The person's like, don't do a John Lennon one. The Transformers thing is like, skip John Lennon, do Yoko instead. I find that funny. That's fair. I'm sorry.
That's fair. I mean, honestly, if you told me the Beatles story from Yoko's perspective, I would find that more interesting right now, because you guys like to say she was the one who broke up the band. And I've watched the, now that we've seen that most recent doc where she's sitting there, she's not the reason that band broke up. The reason that band broke up is Paul McCartney was being a right fucking asshole to everybody. And people start being, hey, yo, what is this all about? Why are you? And then George being like, yo, fuck this shit, and leaving. And then that's it. Like, Yoko was sitting there quietly giving her 2 cents. That's not on her.
I know, like, in the past, like, people always tried to blame her. And then, like, when they talk to, not John, but, George? Geez, Paul was like, no, our wives and girlfriends were in the room. What? No, she did nothing. She's just sitting there.
Exactly. She, like, Paul McCartney's wife and his kid were in the studio in that documentary running around, and no one said, well, that caused the band to break up. But all of a sudden, this Asian woman shows up and they're just like, gotta blame the Asian girls. Like, oh, come on now. Y'all are just disrespectful.
People were racist, guys. Come on.
Yeah. like, who knew the 60s was racist?
You know, anyway. Like, I don't know why we're having this discussion.
You know what, though? Speaking of racism in the world, can you imagine having to start in a completely different league because they wouldn't let black kids play hockey or baseball or any of the other sports? Well, guess what? We have a documentary that talks just about that. Jaws, can you hit us with this black ice?
Ah, okay. So I got to go see a screening of the movie Black Ice yesterday, put on by Black History Month it was done kind of like, I mean, basement is a bad way of saying it, but like in the underneath the Bell Center. So there was like a theater and a bar and stuff like that.
Really?
And they had a director.
Downstairs at the Bell Center?
Yeah.
Oh shit! I didn't know that. That sounds.
So like, oh, is it the restaurant? And then you... Like
like underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the director there was there. Hubert Davis. Also George Larocque was there.
Hey.
Jordan Harris, who is the current defenseman for the Habs. And when you look at him, you're like, okay. I guess he's just there as a representative for the Habs. But no, his dad is actually black, and his mom is Jewish. And he hails from Boston. So that's pretty cool. So what was really interesting about this movie is that it kind of juggles a few things and talks about a few things. So it talks about racism in hockey in general, Canada's past with racism in hockey, and also the CHL, the Colored Hockey League. And it's history in Canada, basically. So kind of going back to that whole, like, people kind of feel like, oh, if you're a different skin color, you're not part of our history with hockey. And it's like, actually, the CHL, let's see here, founded in 1895.
Jesus.
founded in 1895. Let me see here. I'm in the Wikipedia here page. It was an all-black ice hockey league founded in Nova Scotia in 1985, which featured teams across Maritimes Canadian provinces. The league operated for several decades, lasting until 1930.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So just going and talking about that. So I know it's
35 years is nothing to laugh at, though, for a league.
That exists. That's fair.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Three decades plus.
Like,
Yeah.
So they talk to current players, past players. I think Drake, I think Future, and PK Subban were producers on this movie. So when you're seeing their names in the beginning of it, you're like, oh, okay. And obviously PK Subban's in the movie, talking about his, when he played for the Canadians, but specifically talking about when people are throwing racial slurs at him online after the Habs beat the Bruins, and you just see the Bruins fan base just going nuts. And just talking about, different people's experiences, people yelling or doing a very like racist things to them as children. So when you're looking at these players, these are all players that are probably our age, 20s to 30s, even a teen. There was like a more recent player that's a teenager, and he's playing in PEI, and one of the I think people in this, these young guys, these teenagers in the stands were like yelling racial slurs at him. And they're like, hey, ref, can you do something about it? And like, it's like almost like the refs didn't want to deal with it. And it was this whole thing. And they did like go to the PI league and like, you know, stuff was being done, but it was like so long. It took like 3 months to get done. They needed to get help from other people because just that league was so small. And then all the other people, they're talking about times or they're just, you know, they're going to the ice, they're walking past parents and the parents are using racial slurs them. And they're like six, they're 10 to 12 years old. And
whoa, so
their friends don't like,
are you serious?
Do we say something? Do we do something? Yeah. Like they're all, a lot children, of them are like children. Yeah.
And the parents are yelling slurs at them. Wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, they show Willie O'Ray is in it. So he played, he was the first black NHL player,
played for Boston.
Yeah. So he talks about that stuff. So it was really good. Parts of it were eye-opening. Parts of it were already like, we know. And then I think the majority, a good chunk of it was focused on a player that really kind of blew the whistle a few years ago. And him dealing with that. And they talked to some other players. Like they had a black and Filipino player. And he recounting it. And he's just still upset about it. Yeah. He's like literally breaking down about it. He's like, how can you call a kid that? Like, I'm just playing the game like you. I'm trying to enjoy this awesome game here. And you're just being a complete piece of garbage about it. And just talking about the systemic racism where, you know, you bring this stuff to light and it just either takes forever for anything to be reprimanded or for the people to actually be accountable for the things they're doing or saying, for anything like that. You know, there was one where,
can I just say real quick, it always makes me think of the time there was a lady in the news when during the Black Lives Matter movement who was saying, listen, we're just asking you to acknowledge we exist. We're not even asking for revenge. Mm-hmm. Like we're owed more than just being, we're just saying, acknowledge we exist and that our lives matter. Cause if we ask for what we're truly owed, it would get crazy. So when you're like, you know, you talk about these kids, these poor children who are just like, I just want to play hockey because I see this sport and it looks so much fun. And then you have adults yelling slurs at them. It's just like, y'all need better.
And you know, it's tough because in some sense, like, do I do anything? But if I do something, then, you know, my goal is to get into the NHL. And if I do something now, then I like think about that. You're a kid and you have to think 15 steps ahead in chess.
Dude.
To make sure that your future is still
possible
and be doing something.
This is why they always say that for black people or people of color and for women, you have to be multiple times better just to be baseline with other people, because it's just for granted that they can get into these jobs and these leagues and this stuff like that. Whereas like this kid has to think about like, okay, so if I deck this motherfucking racist right now, I ruin my chances of getting into these leagues. And so I have to bare my teeth. And
so it was really cool. One thing I liked was they were talking about the CHL and they were saying like, you know, there's actual instances of, hey, this league, because they weren't following, you know, they had their own rule book. It was loosely based on more of the, you know, since it's like so far back, the white rules of hockey, but they kind of adapted things a little bit differently or they were more liberal with certain stuff here and there. So they were saying like back in the day, you couldn't lift your stick off the ice, but so some guy, he's playing baseball in the summertime and now he's playing hockey in the wintertime. He just kind of raised his stick above his waist and slams down on the puck. And he's kind of credited to making the first
slap shot
ever.
Oh,
and then maybe a few months or years later, he like, you know, someone else in the NHL actually was credited with doing the first slap shot.
Yeah.
Same with normally the goalies wouldn't come out of their goal, but in this league, they were allowed to come out of the goal and cover the puck. And then other people were doing it afterwards. So that was pretty cool. They also talked about the three black aces. So Quebec had its own AHL And they had the Quebec Aces, and it was like the three black line of the starting line, and they were like the three like really good black players. And they talked about one in particular, and they're like, "Hey, this guy should be added to the NHL Hall of Fame because he did so much for hockey in general. Like even after he retired, you know, he was supposed to be the guy going into the NHL, but they were trying to give him way less money." Even though he was good, they knew he was good. He was supposed to go to the Rangers and stuff. So it's a really interesting documentary. It's really good. I definitely try to look out for it. I think it says it's on Hulu. Apparently they say it's on Hulu. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a Crave. It's a Crave original documentary. So
it's probably on Crave
or something like that. Okay. But it should be around. But I know right now they're just doing screenings all over the place kind of thing. And then The Q&A was really cool and really fun. And yeah.
All right. I mean, it's great that you brought that up because funny enough, the last thing that I'm going to talk about, it touches directly into some of the stuff you're talking about. Franklin, Stupi presents Welcome Home Franklin. Franklin, as we all know, kind of the namesake, how this all started. We used to be the Franklin Armstrong Collective. That's where the original FA came from. We still actually own franklinarmstrong.com. If you go to franklinarmstrong.com, it still leads to our YouTube channel. So you can forever and still use franklinarmstrong.com to get to us. But, you know, with that said, the kind of 40-minute little film that they made in the style of all the other Schultz Peanuts films, this one was a really nice one. It's just the story of Franklin, how he started out, you know, being an army brat, traveling the world, came to the small town that they're from, made friends with Charlie Brown. They did a go-kart, not go-kart. Is it go-karts? Downhill?
Soapbox.
That's what they called it. So they had soapbox racing that, and they're on a team together. It's so cute. It's so fun. You know, the Franklin is trying so hard to make friends with people. He's new in town. He has this little book from his grandfather that he uses as like, you know, 20 ways to break the ice. Like, it's just such an adorable story that you're like watching it and you're just like, God, this is so, and it feels so real too, you know, like he's a kid. And then at one point he's sitting by himself because he feels so awkward and he still has grandpa's book, but he's just like, some of this stuff, because, you know, obviously one of the first people he meets is Lucy, and Lucy, you don't give up about nothing. So he's interacting with her, trying to follow along to what the book says. But Lucy's being Lucy, being like, it's 5 cents if you want me to figure your problems out. And you're like, you know what I mean? So it's a really cute story. If you guys want to go check it out, I highly recommend it. It's really, really nice. It's available on Apple TV. And, you know, just as a fan, if you like that stuff, it's a high recommendation. I'm going to play this right now. Geek news and rumors. We're not going to get to discuss them, but we're going to go through the headlines real quick. Montreal actress Clark Bacow is cast in Venom 3. If you ever saw Letterkenny. She's been in a bunch of stuff recently. She's been cast, which is really cool to know that there's a Montrealer in it. Unfortunately, we don't expect it to do well, but we expect her to do well. I don't expect the film to do well, but as
we slandered Madame Web for about 35 minutes. I mean, I'm surprised you mentioned this.
Hey, I didn't like the movie, but at the end of the day, I really thought that Isabella Marquez and Celeste, whatever, I can't remember her last name, but the two girls that played Maddie and Aranya were fantastic. Movie sucks, but they're actually good actors. Sydney Sweeney and Dakota Johnson were just there to get a paycheck. Those two, though, did their thing. Marvel execs are calling the current shifting behind the scenes a retooling, not a reboot. Only the trades were calling it a reboot. We always knew it was going to be a retooling, and even then, it's not even a retooling. It's just the next phase. So, you know, this headline's more just for the kids who don't know what's going on. NBC's Suits, LA, pilots cast Arrows and Heel star Stephen Amell as its lead. I am shocked. That he got that. But let's see what he can do with it. Jim Lee asked Joe Manganiello to turn his Deathstroke origin film into a graphic novel. So he was still trying to pitch that over with Gunn, and Gunn told him, sorry, buddy, you're going to have to let that dream go. And Jim Lee wanted to turn it into a graphic novel. So the Deathstroke origin movie will never happen, but we might get a really cool comic book out of it.
And then the last... it might end up being You know, storyboards for a movie or an animated movie. Who knows?
Hey, animated movie. I'd be down for it. Disney reaches licensing deal with Sony Pictures Home Entertainment for DVD and Blu-ray releases. Guys, no more physical Blu-rays and DVDs from Disney.
What?
Yeah, Disney has
been for a while. Yeah.
Yes, Disney just signed a deal with Sony. So Sony Pictures is taking it over. They're going to be the ones making all the physical media for Disney moving forward. It's a license
because Sony is part of the collective to make Blu-rays and all that kind of stuff. They got skin in the game. So it totally makes sense.
I will say, though, we've had this conversation before on the pod. The two industries that have decided in the past where physical media was going to go was usually Disney and the porn industry. So DVDs beat out LaserDisc, Blu-ray beat out HD DVDs, VHS beat out Betamax. All those were decided because Disney supported and the porn industry supported one versus the other. So now it's going to be interesting to know that Sony taking it over, it's not going to be up to Disney in the slightest. So
but the gag reel will live on.
Yeah, that's true. Hopefully we'll get, you know, and I know, Dave, you asked if we were going to get the full vault unlocked. I highly doubt it.
I know. That makes too much money. Yeah, put something away and keep it for yourself and say, hey, guys, it's coming back out again. And you're like, oh, my God.
Like, what's the point of not? If you're thinking on a Sony perspective, right? Like,
I don't know. Dave, Sony doesn't own it. Disney owns it. They're licensing. They don't just get to the side. So it's not thinking as Sony does nothing. Yes, of course, Sony would love to make as many of these as possible. But if Disney tells you I don't want to, then that's it.
And I also think the way Warner Brothers kinds of does it is you order it and then they make the DVD or something like that. Like it's a made to order kind of thing. I think I remember I was buying Living Single and it kind of said something like that. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So it took a little while to get, but I think it's kind of like that for physical media on that side.
Bespoke DVDs.
Man, I mean, it's not really bespoke. It's just they don't want to hold the you know, you make physical copies, you have to hold it in a physical storage room. And physical storage rooms cost rent, and you got to make sure that place is, you know, temperature good, so they just don't get messed up and all that.
That's fair, guys. That's the whole show. We did another one. That was a quiet.
There was a lot more physical reactions.
True. If you guys are listening to this on Spotify, click it open to see them all wave their hands like they just don't care. We're going to be at a concert. We got tickets to Burna Boy. So we'll be at Burna Boy, but hopefully it depends on the rest of the crew, but we'll let you guys know. And don't forget, you can also check out archive episodes on Saturdays on our Twitch, twitch.tv/geekcypher. So if you guys want to check them out, Saturdays at 11 a.m. Episode 200, I think, is going to be the one this coming week. We've already played 3 or 4 episodes. So that's the whole show, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to another one. We'll be back.
Peace out.
Peace, y'all.